Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Beis, because we're full of heart today. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Lamed Aleph Omud Beit, and we're continuing the saga of the three brothers. Fascinating three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. This time, the three brothers start out on a new life, and instead of marrying sisters, they marry unrelated women. So now we've got Shlosha Achim, who are Nisuin to Shalosh Nochriot. One of them dies. Okay, so we'll take Reuven, let him die first. And now the second brother, Shimon, he goes ahead and he does Ma'amar. And he dies before, however, he actually did Yibum. So now he's leaving two women to the third brother, good old Levi. And now we've got a problem, because his Ma'amar wife carries with her two separate chiyuvim. Because he only did Ma'amar and not Yibum, she is still not Petura from the Zika that she had to the original, the first, after she died, Shimon, the second brother, was supposed to take care of the Yibum, but he didn't. So she still carries the Yibum of the first brother, Reuven. On the other hand, Ma'amar, at least Midrabanan, makes her a wife. So if she's a wife, then that means when Shimon died, she now carries a Zika from Shimon that Levi is supposed to take the Yibum, and also a Zika from Reuven, which Levi always had as well. So what should we do? Because of the fact that what we have over here is two separate zikot on the same woman, since it says in the pasuk umet echad mehem yevamo yavo aleha, that means that anyone, obviously it doesn't mean that if two brothers would have died, Reuven and Shimon both died, and they leave two separate women who are completely unrelated to a third brother, there's no problem with that. But in this case, the death of one of them is mashma, that yevamo yavo aleha means she'aleha zikat yavamechad. Because since it says one of them dies, then yevamo yavo aleha, it's mashma that the chiv of the yibum to be bo aleha is because one of them died. But in this case, the chiv of the Yavam to be Bahaleh, in this case Levi, is because two of them died. Both Reuven died, and that would have been enough to be Mechayavim with Yibum. And then Levi died, and that would have been enough to be Mechayavim Yibum, if we consider that Ma'amar to be real. And therefore, we've got a problem. So this is a completely new drash. Of course, we spoke about this earlier in Masechet, and we said that in this case, only mi she'aleha zikat yavam echad, v'lo she'aleha zikat shnei yavmim. And this was where, if you recall, we had earlier the entire discussion of Rabbi Shimon. So we had that back on Daf Yud Ches. We're over there, Rabbi Shimon, remember, Uma, Rabbi Shimon, even if it's Zika and Ma'amar, is misupik whether it's Zika. Kol Shekein, if it's only Zika alone, and we brought this Mishnah to prove Ma'i, we said over there, and we quoted this Mishnah. See, Rabbi Shimon holds, even if there's Ma'amar, then you still don't have this halacha. Now, what we ended up over there understanding is that it's Ma'amar is either one way or the other. Either Ma'amar is a complete and total Kenyan. If Ma'amar is a complete and total Kenyan, then it removes the Zika of Reuven. Or Ma'amar is nothing. And if Ma'amar is nothing, then it did not create a chiyuv of Zika. So you can't have it both ways, says Rabbi Shimon. It's either one or the other. You're creating a sort of penumbra state of Ma'amar in which it's not enough to remove the Zika, but it is enough to create a new Zika. I don't like. Okay, so therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, look, since I don't know whether Ma'amar is Kenyan Gomer or not, what I say is that the third brother Levi should be Miyabem Le'ezer Sheyirtze V'choletz L'Shniya. He can take either one, whichever one he wants, And he does chalitza to the second brother. Why? Even though this doesn't make any sense according to the Tanakhama, because if he could take whichever one he wants, that would mean that he's allowed to take the one that has zika shnei yamim. So basically, according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no such thing as a double zika. Why? Again, because Raman of Shach, either she carries the zika of Shimon, if Ma'amar is real, but that took off the zika of Reuven, or she carries the zika of Reuven, and if Ma'amar isn't real, so then she doesn't carry the zika of Shimon. Therefore, your entire drasha is nonsensical, says Rabbi Shimon. What do you mean, Mishalea zika yavamecha? There ain't no such animal, baby. And therefore, since we don't know what to do, I understand, but it doesn't really matter if you're going to go ahead and you'll do Yibum to one. Either one is perfectly good to do Yibum with. For some reason, what we say is, look, because she might be entirely Shimon's wife. Ooh. Because then Ma'amar would be Konikin Gomer. So what happens if she's entirely Shimon's wife, gentlemen? Well, what happens is that then you're not allowed to take both of them, because if there's more than one wife to a brother who dies without children, it says, Beit Achiv, Bayit Echad Hu Boneh, Ve'eino Boneh Shnei Batim. So since in the possible tzad that Ma'amar is Konikin Gomer, you are not allowed to marry both of them, because how can you do Yibum to two women from the same brother if it's not Bayit Echad? On the other hand, what are you going to say? Let her go without Yibum or Chalitza? No, because she may not be, actually, she may be the only wife that Shimon has, because maybe Ma'amar is not Kena at all. Since I don't know, says Rabbi Shimon, since I don't know, you're going to have to do something for both of these women. Now, you can't do Yibum for both. Agreed. You can't potter one with the other. Agreed, because they may not be coming from the same bayit. And therefore, you're going to have to do chalitza to one of them. Now, which one? That's up to you. So you take whichever one, and then you do chalitza with the next one. Now, says the Gemara, wait a minute. Yeah. You brought me a pasuk. You said if there is a zika from two brothers, then there's no yibum. So if there's no Yibum, why is there Chalitza? I don't understand. Was this a serious Pusik, Midiraisa? So then why are you telling me you should do Chalitza? Chalitza nami lo tiboy. So obviously, you can't mean the Pusik seriously. I mean, it's not, it must be an Asmachta of some kind, because it's all built around the Rabbanan creation of a fictitious marriage, which is called Ma'amar, and therefore we give it a status to create a Zika. So, okay, this means it's only the Rabbanan. So if it's only the Rabbanan, why did the Rabbanan view this as being problematic? I mean, you can't first create a reason why it should be problematic, because the Torah says only Mishi Yeshu Azikas Yovam Echad, and then create, well, now that I created a fictitious problem, now I'll make Ma'amar the basis of a fictitious problem. And that's crazy. What in the world is the real reason that you would do something like this? I'll tell you why. Because we make the real gezerah, the point of the gezerah, this is the mechanism that we're talking about, that it's a zika of shtei bat. But what's the real gezerah? The gezerah is shema yomru, shtei yevamot, haba'ot mi bayit echad, mit yabmot. The problem is that since Shimon did do ma'amar, so it looks like he's married to Reuven's wife. So if we're going to allow Levi, after Shimon's death, to marry both of these, and so then certainly people are going to think that they really were both married to Shimon. And then they might actually believe that in the event that someone dies, leaving more than one wife, that the Yavam can take as many as he wants, or maybe he's believed to take all of them. I don't know what they're going to think, but the bottom line is, we're afraid that they're going to be miyabim two or more women from the same bias, and that will be an Isser D'Oraisa. Because he's going to be over on Bayit Echad Uboneh, Eino Boneh Shtei Batim. Okay, I understand. But I mean, so why can't you be Miyabim one of them? I mean, there's certainly no problem being Miyabim one of them, is there? So, just be Miyabim one. Why should we be Mavatel, the mitzvah of Yibum, totally? I mean, that doesn't seem right. And so you have to do Chalitza. Do Yibum to one and do Chalitza to the other. No, because if we do that, people will say that in the event that more than one Yavama falls, the guy's married to five women. He dies. So people will think, based on this story, they'll say, gee, I remember a story like this where Shimon died last year, leaving two women. One of them actually got Yibam, and one of them got Chalitza. So let's do that over here. Let's build the house partially. So we have a Bayit Echad, where there's, say there's two Yavamas in this guy's home. One of them should be built, meaning through Boneh Beit Achiv, through Yibam, and one of them should get Chalitza, right? That's what they'll think. So let them think. What do I care? Well, I mean, they're not doing anything wrong. I mean, if they want to go get spit at, you can go get spit at. You pay somebody to spit at you. I mean, what's the big deal? Like, you say, oh, that would be terrible. They're going to end up doing chalitza to someone who's not chayav chalitza. Who cares? The Yomru, let them talk. No, you don't understand. If first you would do the yibum and then you would do the chalitza, you're right. Talking about it, there would be no problem. But what we're concerned about is, what about if first somebody does the chalitza and then you go ahead and you do the yibum? Now, then what's going to happen? Since you already did the chalitza, and remember, what is, this shall be done to the man, asher lo yivneh beit achiv. Asher lo yivneh means, if you didn't do it, you ain't going to do it. So that means there's an iser, having done chalitza, in this bias to go ahead and to be miyabim. So that's a diraisa. So if we're worried, what are we going to do? We're going to say, you must do chalitza first, and then you can, you must do yibam first, and then you can then not say the chalitza. I mean, that's not going to work. So therefore, kiven shobana, shuv lo yivneh, we cannot allow you to do yibum in any case. Now, let's talk about a slightly different case in which we have over here Shimon, exactly like our Mishnah. Let's just add another variation on the theme, which we've been waiting for the Rebbe, but I can't even zittle him because he ain't here. I'm telling you, what's going on with the Gabbai? One of the main things the Gabbai does, they don't say this in public, one of the main things the Gabbai does is not bringing the people in to see the Rebbe at 3 a.m. It's waking up the Rebbe at 3 a.m. So that's the question. So let's add one additional point. The same guy who gave Ma'amar gives a get to his Ma'amar. Now, note, gives a get to his Ma'amar. Well, of course he gave a get to his Ma'amar. What else could he give a get to? Wrong. Because remember that there is a gezeira in which if any brother gives a get, no mimer, he gives a get to a yevama, thinking that, well, at least this way he'll get her off his back, right? The din is that he passels that yevama, as we're going to see later on, and she can only get chalitza. So in this case we're talking about where the man says, I am giving you this get in order to remove my ma'amar. I am not an idiot to think that I can give you a get to remove your yibum, and therefore this get is not going to affect your zika. Do you understand that, lady? What the heck are you talking about? She says, but that doesn't matter. She doesn't have to understand it. We have to understand it. So the get, therefore, was given to her in order, bedafka, not to remove the zika. So then that means that the get did not asser her on the brothers. Now, the question is, what is the impact of the get on the ma'amar? Omar Rava, if a guy gives get to a ma'amar, we have a surprising halacha. And that is that he undoes the ma'amar completely. And now, Shimon's original wife, the real wife that we pretended was a tsara over here to her, she now goes ahead and Levi is able to go and to marry her. And if Shimon dies and she falls to Yibam. But, okay, but you're saying that the one that he did Ma'amar to remains a surah to Levi. Why is that? That's because she looks like a normal case of a Yavama that got a get. Not everybody knows there's a difference between a get for Ma'amar, where it was so specified, and a get for Zika, where it wasn't specified at all. People don't realize that. Did you realize that earlier this morning? You see how easy it is to make a mistake? So therefore, because people will confuse this woman who got a get specifically for Ma'amar with a Yavama who just got a plain old-fashioned get, therefore we cannot allow the woman herself who got the get, even though it was specified as a get for Ma'amar, we cannot allow her actually to be mityabemet to Levi, because it will look like Yavama who got a get. So that is going to create Isurim, but is no Isurim based on the fact that he's going to be over on Asher Lo Yivne, because it isn't the case of Asher Lo Yivne. The Zika was not affected, and therefore it's not as if he gave her Chalitza, now it will be Otzer to take him at all. It's just because of this problem is a problem of another gezeira. By the way, I should mention to you that even though the implication of the sugya over here is that this entire concept of lo mishiyesh aleha zikat shnei yamin appears to be just a fiction, where we created the fiction in order for us to be able to have this gezeira, right? That's not necessarily the case. Because as we're going to see, and Tosfos talks this out, as we're going to see, there is a curious situation where there may be a zika of shnei yabmim. A remarkable situation. And that is that the yibum was performed by a katan. Now, a katan, remember, once he's 9 years old, he could certainly have normal intercourse, according to the Gemara, right? And so, basically, even though a katan doesn't have kinyanim, but a katan does have this din of taking the place of the Torah, giving him this woman. So now we have a curious situation where the zika of the original brother, Reuven, remains. Moshe, stop encouraging Zuzzles. So where the zika remains, and, okay, I give up. And yet you end up with the Zika of Shnei Yabim because the Torah had given this Isha to the Katan. We'll discuss all of that situation later. Igeri Amri. Now others say that's not what Rava said. And what Rava said was that if you give get for Ma'amar, then the halacha is even the one who got the get for the Ma'amar is completely muteret. Why? Because in this version, whatever he did, he undid, which is a remarkable idea, because normally when a person gives a get, he does not oker what he was married up until now. So what do you mean he undid what he did? I mean, we have all of the normal appearances of Ma'amar. They were married up to a point, and then he terminated the marriage. So it appears, and there are indeed some achronim that learn, that the takana of Ma'amar was coupled to a new din of gerishin for the Ma'amar. And you're able to be oiker the nisuin l'mafreya with a get, which is very problematic. Because normally what we say is koma de tikkun rabbanan, is ke'en diraisa tikkun. And therefore, to establish a new halacha that a get can be oker a marriage l'mafreya is rather hard to believe. And therefore, the other approach, which is that the original takana of Ma'amar is not a takana that gives us the halacha bichlal that a normal marriage would, which is the way others learn, not that the get is mevatel the Ma'amar l'mafreya, but rather that when we made the takon of Ma'amar, we did not make Ma'amar Kedushin Gemurim, even Midrabana. Because the very fact that Zika exists means that it's not a normal Kedushin. And because of that, we find such a thing, by the way, because when someone is a Chetzi Shifcha, a Chetzi Ba'as Chayrin, so we have halacha, wherever you don't have Kedushin Gemurim, then the halacha is that the woman does not become actually psula to the brothers when we take the Kedushin off. So if he dies, okay. Therefore, there is a concept that the Ma'amar, being not a normal Kedushin, does not aser her on the brothers if he removed the Ma'amar with a get. And that's the way other Achronim understand. Okay, in any event, we are ready now for our special Kapitan. Doc, where are you? Well, we need you, Doc. Okay, thank you, Sir Richard. Shneachim, getting on with our cases. Now, in this case, we've only got two brothers. And this was a situation we discussed earlier, if you recall, but we're going to review that, where you've got Shteachim that are Nisuin, Shteachayot. Okay, simpler case. Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. One of them dies, and then, now here's the deal. The brother who survives, he's not going to be chayev in Yibam, right? Because it's his sister, his wife's sister, fallen to him be Yibam, and that's one of the classic Tet Vav Nashim that are listed in the opening Mishnah. But what happens now is that the wife of the second brother dies. So then, if at the moment of the Nefila, he could not have done Yibam, so then you might think that that changes once his wife dies, and now his Yavama is no longer Asura, because remember, the only case where we remove an Isser Erva, besides Yibam, is the case of Achot Isham. We pointed out that that is not a coincidence, and therefore all the Dinim of Yibam relate and come back to Achot Isham. So in this case, 2 minutes after his brother died, his wife died. Now, can he go ahead and be Miyabem, the wife of Reuven, who is currently not his wife's sister? No. Because as we've learned, Harezu Asura Alav Hoel V'Nesra Alav Sha'achat, she's Nesra Alav Olamit. So Harezu Asura Alav Olamit. This, if you recall, was the Mishnah that we said before, was the reason that we were concerned that Rav, remember you wrote that thank you card to Rav, a special thank you card, that was based on this Mishnah. Because we said, well, this Mishnah basically says what Rav said. Rav said that once a woman is Asura to you, she's Asura to you forever. And it goes according to the Shas and the Fila. What do we need Rav to tell us that for? And we ended up saying we need Rav to tell us that, because what about in a case where the Yibum remains open? Where would the Yibum remain open? Where there's a third brother. So the third brother, that was Levi, right? And in that case, then Shimon could say, wait a minute, my wife died a minute after my brother died, and you can't define the situation as, well, there's no Yibum in that case, because the moment your brother died, there was no Yibum. No, you don't understand. There's a third brother, Levi, so that you can't say there's no Yibum. The Yibum survived. Now that my wife no longer is around, and I don't have a problem in taking the first wife, since the Zika was never removed, perhaps I could now go ahead and be Miyabim Ruvain's wife. Kamashmalan, that even in a case of an open-ended Yibum, which means that the Zika still remains after the death of the first brother, even so this is true, as Rav explained, even so this is true. Despite the fact that there was a third brother, then there was the question of who did it first, and that's why we needed Rav to say, even if he hadn't gone ahead and been Miyabim. Okay. Anyway, being as this is the case, then isn't that obvious? Because we learned already in the Mishnah we had before, which was exactly the same case, except in that case, it was one of the four cases where we had three brothers, right? And we had three brothers. So we had brother Levi, who was still around to be able to do the Yibum of first brother Reuven, who died. And then we already knew a bigger Chiddush, that even though Levi was around, Afal Pikein, Shimon, can never act on the basis of Reuven's death, because at the instant of Reuven's death, he was married to a woman who was the sister of the wife of Reuven, despite the fact that he is currently not married to her, and that there is no Isser V'Achot Isha. So we already know this Mishnah. This Mishnah is childishly obvious. Why in the world do we need it before? If Hashta Mahatam in the Mishnah we had before, the Lomit Chayim Ahai Beta Legamre, where we did not cancel the Yibum completely because it was open-ended to Levi, and nonetheless you say, forget about Shimon Amrit Lo. So Koshikane, in this case, where there is no Levi, and we're going to be Matcha the entire Yibum, so isn't it obvious, Lo Koshikane? Isn't it clear that she remains Asura after the death? So how do you explain that? Tana, I'll explain it the way I explained things before in this similar situation. The Tana originally actually had rejected that case. And he made the mistake of thinking that if Levi were alive, then if Shimon's wife died, then Shimon could also do the Yibum of Reuven's wife because there's still the Zika. That's what the Tana thought. And because of that, he limited the Heter to this Mishnah where there was no Levi specifically. And therefore, when he realized that, you know, I made a mistake. The truth is, even if it were open-ended and Levi was still alive, it would never be mutter for Shimon. It always is defined as the instant of the Nefila, because at that instant, she becomes an Eshet Ach Shelo B'Mokom Mitzvah. And if she's an Eshet Ach Shelo B'Mokom Mitzvah, so then she's an Erva. What do I care whether she is your wife's sister or not? She is one of the other Arayot. By the way, Tosfos asks a very interesting question. Since what we've discovered is that there is another Erva that passels and will also passel at Tzora, as we'll see, which is called the Eshet Ach who falls to you at a moment that you can't do Yibum. So why does the Mishnah list 15 women, including an Eshet Ach min ha'em? It could even list Eshet Ach min ha'av, because we've had plenty of cases where the Eshet Ach min ha'av becomes an Isser Erva and now continues on to Aser the Tzora and so on and so forth, such as over here. She's not the Achot Isha, but she is the Eshet Ach of a brother from a father who nonetheless is remaining to you as an Isser because there was no Yibam. So there's really an extra woman that ought to be listed. The Tosfos answers that since it all boils down to the issue of Achot Isha, we don't see it as a separate case. Okay, maybe there are other ways to think about this, which is, actually, if you consider, is that the Mishnah does say this case. It does? Sure. Didn't it say that Tzorot Tzoroteyem are Asurais? Why are Tzorot Tzoroteyem Asurais? Because every tzora of a tzora is the tzora is an actual tzora to an erva. What's the name of that erva? Eshet ach mina'av shelo hayach chiyuv yibum at the time. So in that sense, this is the underlying clearest point that the Mishnah could possibly make. And it's more powerful to make it in the context of the din of tzora's tzora than it would be to simply mention these cases. Fine. So that's a possible alternative. Anyway. Tana Rabban. Now, what happens where Shimon decides that he is going to, anyway, he's going to sleep with Reuven's Yavama? All right. I mean, he was always looking forward to this Yavama. Now the rabbis are telling him he can't have this Yavama. The heck with the rabbis. Now, in that case, if his wife had not died, okay, so he is now faced with two completely different Isurim. On the one hand, this woman is his wife's sister, which is an Isser Erva. On the other hand, he is facing his brother's wife, which is an Isser Erva. Which one is he going to be chayev on? He will be chayev aleha mishum eshet ach mishum achot isha. He'll be chayev both Isurim because they're two separate Ervas over here. Divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Shimon says, no, he's only going to be chayev because of the fact that she's an Eshes Ach. And we're going to have to figure out why that's true, but of course it's sort of obvious that it has to do with Ein Isser Chalal Isser, right? Okay, now from this moment on, gentlemen, we have a very happy occurrence. We can forget about all the complications of Yevomas, and we can go directly into a simple, what they call, Shas Sugya. Something that has application across the board, all over Shas. You don't have to remember the complicated cases at all. So now relax, let your hair down, join Gavi on his walk, and let us take a look at the problem of Isser Chal al Isser. So it begins like this. On the one hand, Rabbi Shimon just said over here, you're only Chayev Mishum Eshet Ach. Strangely enough, there is another brisa in which Rabbi Shimon says, you're only chayev mishum achot isha. I explain that. Isn't that a contradiction? No, of course it's not a contradiction. It's all a function of what happens first. Here we're talking about Khan. We're talking about where the brother who ended up surviving, let's just simply use the name, Shimon, who was the brother, the boy who lived. So Shimon was the first one who married, and then the dead one, Reuven, then Reuven married. Okay, what Isser came first on this woman? Well, the moment that the boy who lived marries his wife, that wife's sister is going to be Asura. Great. Now Reuven goes ahead and marries her and claims that she is Asura because she's Eshet Achiv. She's not Eshet Achiv because Ein Isur Chalal Isser. Therefore, if he actually does go ahead and sleep with her, he's going to be chayev for what? Achot Isha. But in the first brisa, where Reb Shimon said, no, you're only going to be chayev mishum eshet achiv, that's talking about where actually Reuven, who was the one who died, he was the one who got married first. Shenasa mate, and then Shimon went and got married. Which Isser came first? The fact that she was his brother's wife. When he went ahead and married her sister, she remains Asura because she's his brother's wife, but she doesn't get the additional Isser of also being his wife's sister because she was already Asura to him. So how would she now be again Asura? Can't be Asura twice. That's called Ein Isur Chal Al Isser. Okay, so now let's think about Rabbi Shimon. You're telling me that according to Rabbi Shimon, in the event that the dead brother, Reuven, was the first one to marry, and the second brother then goes ahead and marries the sister, that there is no Isser of Achot Isha. I got a great question. If there's no Isser of Achot Isha, why can't he do Yibum? Ha-ha! We were only pottering him from Yibum because of the fact that she is an Erva, but you're telling me she isn't an Erva. So if she isn't an Erva, so go ahead and do Yibum. Aha! What we are describing is an oscillating case called Catch-22. Why is it Catch-22? Because the moment that you remove the Isser of Eshet Achiv by saying, okay, go mimiyabim her, at that instant, the Isser of Achot Isha suddenly appears. Because it's not as if there never was the Isser of Achot Isha sitting there crouching over them and saying, the moment I'm going to find a place to make this woman Usser as an Achot Isha, I'll be there, so look out for me. So then the moment that we would say, okay, go ahead and be miyabim her, all of a sudden she turns into a monster, and now she's Achot Isha. So we say, oh, she's Achot Isha, so therefore you can't be miyabim her. Okay. So if I can't be miyabim her, so then that means that she's also Eshet Ach. Wait a minute, but if she's an Eshet Ach, she can't be Achot Isha because Eshet Ach came first. Bye-bye monster. So what we have over here is an oscillating monster. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, there is no way to do Yibum because she would be Petura from Yibum since she is always a potential Erva. Now this leads to an amazing idea because we thought, and that the reason that you're potter from Yibum is because of the fact that she is an Erva. Now we're saying, even if she isn't an Erva, there is also a Petur of Yibum which leads her to be an Eshet Ach Shelo B'Makom Yibum because of Catch-22. That means that Catch-22 becomes a halachic principle and would create the status of an actual Erva, which is a whole new way of looking at the issue. The inability to go ahead and to be miyabimer. Therefore, says Rav Ashi, Isur Achot Isha mitla tolek v'koy. It's sitting there crouching over them all the time. The moment that we would be mafkia eshet ach, so ipoka isur eshet ach, Isur Achot Isha is going to come and suddenly, pow, it will take effect, and therefore she will not be able to be mityabem, and therefore it isn't paka in the first place. Because why should we be paka when it's just going to turn her into a monster anyway? Now, let's talk about Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi apparently said, he said you're going to be chayev two separate things, right? You'll be chayev both for the Isra Vachot Isha, and also for Eshet Ach. What does he do with the problem of Ein Isur Chal Al Isur? Now, this is what we're going to discuss now. He seems to say that Isur can be Chal Al Isur. So are you telling me that Sover Rav Yossi, Isur Chal Al Isur? The problem is that there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Avar Avira Sheyesh Bo Shtei Mitot. So this is a classic situation. A guy was over an Avera that includes two separate Chiyuvim, one of which is more Chomor than the other. So the case that we talk about over there in Sanhedrin is a guy sleeps with his mother-in-law. Now, his mother-in-law is married at the time, so she is an Eshet Ish. But she's also his mother-in-law, and a mother-in-law is an Iser of Sreifa. So if he now sleeps with her, what do we do? Do we give him chenek and sreifa? So like, what do? We strangle him at the same time that we pour lead down his mouth. I mean, how can we strangle him? The way to strangle him is to close his mouth and you strangle him, you know? So, well, maybe we strangle. No, we only kill him once. We haven't discovered how to kill somebody twice. So which misa do we impose upon him? The more chamur, which of course is sreifa. Okay. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it actually depends what comes first. This is a nasty use of the word of Zika that has nothing to do with Yibum, just to confuse you and to remind you where you're at. So Nidan b'Zika, actually, you take the Zika harishonah ba'alav. So the first thing that makes you nervous about this and that keeps you in your azikim, remember, or your handcuffs, and you're locked into this, the first lav that appears, that's the misa that you're going to get. And the Braita explains Rabbi Yossi and leads to a lot of problems in terms of Isur Chal Al Isur, because the Braita says like this, Vitanya, Ketzad Omer Rabbi Yossi Nidon Bezika Harishona Ba'alav. Talk about the case we just spoke about. The guy sleeps with his mother-in-law. But the question is, what Isser came first? Was she an Eshes Ish before she was his mother-in-law? Or was she his mother-in-law before she was an Eshes Ish? Okay, that depends. So if the first she's an Eshes Ish, and she's married to a guy, maybe it's even his father-in-law, she's married to a guy, and then she became his mother-in-law when he took the daughter, so then she remains an Eshet Ish. Before he took the daughter-in-law, what would have been the chiyav if she sleeps with an eshes ish? There's an iser of chenek, which is a light misa. And therefore, he only gets that. But in the event that first he had married her, and then you go ahead and she goes and marries somebody else, then you would give him the more chomer. So then that means that according to Rabbi Yossi, ein iser chal al iser. So now I'm really confused. Before you said that, according to Rabbi Yossi, if this guy Shimon, he goes ahead and he sleeps with the wife of Reuven, he's going to be chayev on both Eshet Ach and on Achot Isha. So now how do we explain that? Yes or no? Yes, Iser Chalal Iser or Ein Iser Chalal Iser? Comes along. Now, you need to get these concepts straight because otherwise it will be quite confusing. Comes along Rabbi Abbo, and Rabbi Abbo says, it's true that Rabbi Yossi does not hold of Isser Chal Al Isser. And therefore, in the case of the mother-in-law who becomes an Eshet Ish and vice versa, he simply follows the rules. Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, whatever thing came first, that's the thing that you're going to be punished for. But Rabbi Yossi is moda that in a case where the second Isser is mosif and it adds, then since we use the svara of amigo, so let's consider what we mean by adding over here. Because what happened is that Shimon goes ahead and he marries a woman. Okay, now at that moment when he married her, who is Asura to him in his family? He is the only one who is affected by the marriage to this woman, and now he cannot marry her sister, right? But, I mean, those sisters, maybe she's got 10 sisters. Those sisters remain completely mutarot to all of his brothers. He's got 10 brothers. They're all mutarot in the sisters, right? Now, when afterwards, what happens is the other brother, which was the case we had over here, Reuven, we had the case where Nasa Chai and then Nasa Meit. Reuven goes ahead and he marries the sister. Who is this sister now Asura on? All 10 brothers. Ooh. So now the point is, once this Isser has now created a whole bunch of new people who are now Usser because of this new Isser, Migo, once it's going to be Chal on the 10 brothers, it's also going to be Chal on him. So now there is an Isser of Eshet Ach on all the brothers. Therefore, says Rabbi Abo, that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. In this case, where we have an Isur Mosif, where we're adding a bunch of new people because of this new Isser, and this is a new Isser that affects the entire family, it's going to affect him also. Wait, but that's only true in the case where Shimon marries first, and then goes ahead the other brother and marries, because then you have the Isser Mosif. We've added Isser Eshes Ach to the entire family. And by the way, the Rambam says this is not a theory. It's only if there actually existed additional brothers who become Usher. It's not that we say, this is Machlokas Rishonim, but this is the Rambam's approach. If the Isser actually did affect new people who before were unaffected, then and only then do we say Migo, that in reality these people, other brothers were affected, he is included in that process. But if there were no other brothers, then it's not a theoretical bigger Isser. It's not going to create a Migo. Fine. Okay, so that's just mentioning that's on the side. So in the event, yes, Rabbi Avo, you're absolutely right, where Shimon married first, the Notzachai, and then the guy who died in the end, Reuven, he married. So then that would mean that, yes, since he married afterwards, that means that the Mosif, the Isser Mosif, took place after the original Isser. Okay, Yeho, Migu. Well, here's the Migu. Migu di Tosef Isser Lagabe Achin. Now that we have a broader Isser that is affecting the entire family, so therefore, Tosef Isser Lagabe Didei. It also affects him. But what about in the other case? Because Rabbi Yossi said, either way, you're going to be over on two Isurim. So what do you mean, either way? In the event that Reuven married first, so now we already have the Isser on all of the family, and then this Shimon goes ahead and he marries the sister, okay? Where's the Isser Mosif? There's no Isser Mosif. All he did was added an Isser on himself. That's saying Isser Chalal Isser. In what sense is it a broader Isser? I don't get it. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say something stupid, because you don't understand what the word Isser Mosif means. You're going to say, I'll bet you, well, when Shimon went ahead and married this woman, he now becomes Asura to all of the 10 sisters of this woman. Masha Enke and everybody else remains mutter to the 10 sisters of this woman. So therefore, it's an Isser Mosif, right? Stupid. Not right. That's not an Isser Mosif, okay? I got news for you. Hi, Isser Kolelu. It looks like an Isser Mosif, but it isn't. It's very important for us to get this distinction straight, because all that Rabbi Abo has said was that Rabbi Yossi is ready to agree in the case of an Isser Mosif. This is a more Kolel. Kolel means it includes more. Fine. It includes more people. Let's not even use people, because this applies to cases where I have nothing to do with people. The people part is confusing. It includes more objects in the Isser. That's not an Isser Mosif. The Isser Mosif means this is a broader Isser because it affects more people who now become Usser to do the same thing. Masha Enken, in this case, it just adds objects of the Isser to Shimon, who now is not only Asura to the sister, he's also Asura to all the sisters. Fine, okay, but that's not that this Isser is an Isser that is a more extensive Isser, that it involves other people. No, that's not true. And therefore, we call this an Isser Kolel, and Rabbi Yossi does not hold that an Isser Kolel is enough to be Chal, even though it's a Isser Chal al Isser. So therefore, Rabbi Abo is only giving us half of an answer And we have to reject it because Rabbi Yossi made it very clear that he's talking about any case. I don't care who got married first. There's always two Isurim. So now how do you explain that in light of his Shita in Sanhedrin that we're only going to give you the lighter Misa if that's what came first? And then we had to say, Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Man, am I confused. Says Rava, there's only one way out of this problem. He didn't mean what he said. Rabbi Yossi said that he's chayev for both Isurim means he's a very bad, naughty boy. Who cares? That the Gemara is going to talk about later on. Who cares? But it's as if he did two Isurim, but he didn't really. Because I can only be mechayev him on one. Because ein Isur Chalal Isur. But, now this is an extension of the idea of the monster. Because since the monster includes that hidden Voldemort beneath the surface, right, in which we're waiting for that other Isser to be Chal at any moment that we remove the first Isser. So then that means that he really did two Averas. It's just that we cannot be Mechayev him for both of those Averas because we have the technicality of Ein Isser Chal al Isser, which really only defines the Onashim or the Karbonas. It does not define your behavior. Later on, we're going to say, what's your business? What his behavior is? That we'll talk about. But right now, that's all it means. It's ma'aleh ani alav. I consider it that he's a real bum. V'chein kiyosa ravin om Rabbi Yochanan. I consider him to be a real bum. And ma'aleh ani alav kilos ashtayim. But in reality, he's only chayv al achas. Says the Gemara, do we really care whether you consider him to be a real bum? What are you telling me? I don't care. My nafkamina. Is there a difference, la halacha? Yes. There's actually a difference, la halacha. And that is, lekovro ben rishaim gemurim. So, the halacha is, if you recall from Sanhedrin, that there are different batei kvarot in Sanhedrin for places where people are chayav achiyav of chenek, or people that are chayav achiyav of sreifa or skila, because sreifa and skila are more bad than, because they're more chomer than the iser of chenek. So now the question is, where do we bury him? In the really bad place or in the semi-bad place? That's how Rashi understands it. Tosfos, which is the halacha, which is very important to note because it's very nogel halacha. Tosfos says that no. Of course, the fact that he did something that is only a potential chiyuv of skila or a potential chiyuv of sreifa is certainly no reason to say he's going to be buried in the plot. By the way, you'll remember this from the discussion of Rut and Naomi, right? Where Rut tells, where Naomi tells Rut, you know, that we have two different batei kvarot, you know, depending on what avera you did. And so Rut says, Basher tamut yamut. Yeah, but it might be the wrong. Veshomek aver, whatever you get, I'll get also in the same Beit Kvarot. So you remember this very cute medrash that talks about the Kabbalah of Geiris and taking this into consideration. But as Tosis explains, the point over here is that we do not view just a general din. One guy's a tzaddik, one guy's a rush. It doesn't go like that. If we have to decide where we're going to bury someone, then we know from the story of Elisha, remember, where the Navi had been buried, it was Navi Sheker, and he had been buried next to Elisha. So we know that there was that whole Maisa, that the moment that they put him in the grave, he gets up and he walks away in order not to be buried next to Elisha, right? So obviously, there is a tsar to a tzaddik to have a Rasha buried next to him. So now the question is, how far do we take that? So Tosfos says, whatever it is that we know, a person who does one Avera, we're not going to bury, and he didn't do Teshuvah, he refuses to do Teshuvah for that Avera, we're not going to bury him next to a tzaddik. If he does two Averas, then we're not going to bury him next to someone who does one Avera. So in other words, we will always try to maintain a similar level of tzidkus, because it's tsar to the nishba tamid, to be next to someone inappropriate for him. So, I mean, what the nafkamina, if, but for this, lemaisa, is, as the Marshal points out, this Shuvah's Ramesha about this as well, that the problem is that people buy graves. And we often will have somebody purchasing a plot next, in order to be buried next to the great Goyen or next to the Rebbe or whatever, And that person is a Bolivarist, or is certainly more Bolivara than the person he wants to be buried next to. So is it really mutter to even sell such plots to such people? And the Marshal is Medayik here from this sugya, that basically it's Yotzeschoro Behefseda, because he's going to be nenash from the fact that he's causing tsar to the neshama of a tzaddik. So, okay, so this was the issue. Now, it turns out that this whole question is actually a machlokas, as we're going to see, about Isser Kolel versus Isser Mosif, and we're going to talk about this in the next few examples. And even though it's late, they're basically all the same, and we can run through them very quickly. We have three different cases. We have a czar who's not a kohen, and he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, and he brings the karbonis of the tzibur on Shabbos. So Rabbi Chiya says, well, he's going to be chayev one thing for doing the Aveda as a czar, and he's going to be chayev shtayim because he also is mechal on Shabbos. Bar Kapora says, he's only chayev for one thing, for a czar. Kofatz. So Rabbi Chiya jumps up and he says, I swear, by the Avoda itself, I heard Rebbe say he's going to be chayev two separate things. Kach shamatami Rebbe, shtayim. Bar Kapora jumps up and says, ha! And I'm ready to swear, and I do. V'nishba, by the Avoda itself, kach shamatami Rebbe, one, not two. Says Rabbi Chiya, for heaven's sakes, obviously two. Look, nobody's allowed to do Malach on Shabbos. True or not true? Thank you, true. Now, where were we matir doing Malach on Shabbos? In the Beis HaMikdash. To whom were we matir it, huh? To Zarim? No. We were matir it to Kohanim. So then that means the Yisr of Shabbat remains, okay? It's a Kohanim Utra. The Kohanim, the Lola Zarim. Therefore, we've got the original Yisr of Zarut, and now we've got the fact that today is Shabbos. So you're chayef twice, says Bar Kapara, nonsense. It's true that Shabbat was usher to everyone, but when the Torah was matir Shabbat in the Beit HaMikdash, it was matir. It didn't say, I'm being matir, this only to Kohanim. It just says there's no issue of doing the Avodah on Shabbos in the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, there's only one issue left, the fact that he is not a Kohen and he did a czar. Next case, we've got a Kohen who's a Baal Mum. Okay, he's not allowed to do the Avodah. He's also Tame, but it's talking about where the tzibur is tummy and he's bringing the korban tzibur, and the din is that you're allowed to bring the korban tzibur betuma. Basically the same issue. Says Rabbi Chiya, he's going to be over on two Isurim. First of all, he's a Baal Mum, who's not allowed to do Aveda. Secondly, he brought a korban betuma. Bar Kapara says, no, he's only chayev one, because he's a Baal Mum, but now it's tuma betzibur is mutter. Kofatz Rabbi Chiya, and he says, I swear, kach shamatimi Rabbi Shtayim. Kofatz Bar Kapar, and he says, I swear by the Aveda, kach shamatimi Rabbi Achat. So Rabbi Chiya, again, says the same idea. Look, tuma was usher to everybody, okay? When in the Beis HaMikdash we says it's mutter for a tzibur where the rova the tzibur is tame. For whom was it mutter? For kohanim that are tamimim that can do the aveda. And therefore only with kohanim tamimim utra. It was never mutter for bale mumim. And therefore we've got two separate serum over here. Bale mumim and tuma. That proves it. Says Bar Kapara, nonsense. Tuma was usher to all Kohanim. When we were matered for a tzibur, it's just mutter. Now, all that's left is it was hutra, ein kan ela mishum balmum, and therefore there's only one issue. Next, a czar. A czar goes into the Beis HaMikdash, greets the Rebbe, and presents him with a shtikel nevela. A shtikel nevela, zok the Rebbe. Was brings me a shtik nevela? Oi, he says, this is not Stamashtik Nevela. This is a beautiful bird that had Malika done by the Kayanim, who put their fingernail through its neck, like the Torah says you're supposed to do, says the Rebbe of Echbinishkin Kain, by Mirdas Ashtik Nevela. So that's the question. Is he going to be over on Tuisurim? Is he going to be over also on the Nevela and also on eating a czar that is Eichel Kodesh, which is an Isser? Or is he only going to be over on a czar Shochel Kodesh? So, We have the same machlokas. Rabbi Chiya says he's going to be chayim on both. Bar Kappara says only be chayim on one. Rabbi Chiya gets up and he says, I swear by the avodah, I heard from Rabbi directly, two. He's going to be over on two Isurim. And Bar Kappara jumps up and he says, I swear by the avodah, kach shamati mi Rabbi, one. So again, hitcha Rabbi Chiya ladun. Look, nevelas and Isur on all used, all guti yidin. Retornish essen ke nevela. Now that the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, but Malika, you can eat in the Beis HaMikdash, that's only for Kohanim, never for Rebbes. So the Kohanim Hutra, v'lo l'zarim, the Zarim, some change the gears because it's not nice to call a Rebbe a Zar. But the bottom line is you understand the idea. And therefore, we've got two Isurim, because the Kohanim Hutra, v'lo l'zarim, yesh kan mishum Zarut, v'yesh kan mishum Malika. Yitro bar kapora ladun. Same idea. The vela was usher to everybody. Now all of a sudden it's mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. It's mutter. So what's left? The Isser of Zarus. That's all. And therefore, there's only one Isser. And that is a Zar Sha'oichal Kedesh. What the heck does this have to do with the price of eggs in China? Ah, says the Gemara. B'maika miflegei. Of course, this part we'll have to do tomorrow. But Micah Mifle, what is the whole machlokas boiled down to in all of these cases? Be iser kailal aliba the Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chiya Savar, Rabbi Yossi be iser kailal is b'chayev tarte. And Bar Kappara Savar, that Rabbi Yossi is not going to be machayev for iser kailal. He'll only be machayev for iser meisiv. And then tomorrow we'll have to go through why each of these cases is an Isser Kerlel and not an Isser Mesiv. Something to look forward to all Shabbos long. Of course, if you can't constrain yourselves over Shabbos, I read somewhere that it's mutter to read ahead the next daf and to peek. Even though you think that that ruins the drama, the Farish, it says it's mutter on Shabbos HaGadol to look ahead and to figure out why all of these cases are Isser Kailal.